So David.
My comments, if you want. Oh, okay. So you want me to say something?
If you've got anything to share,
fine.
It'll be helpful. Anything that inspired you today?
Oh, a lot of things. Yeah, I guess I would. Never sure whether I should wear my anthropologist or my activist hat with these things. I'll try to combine them. I think it might be interesting to think about why the question of universal basic income has come up so strongly at this point in history, and why there's such growing debate about it. Recently there's been a kind of backlash, actually, against it. So it's become a very heated debate, you know, universal income versus guaranteed jobs, for example. And I think that you can only really understand what's going on if you look at what's happened to capitalism itself over the course of, starting in the 70s and 80s, a period which is usually spoken of as a period of neoliberalism as an ideology. And what's actually happened has been a real shift in the way that that profits are actually extracted in capitalism, it seems to me. I wrote a book called The Utopia of Rules, where I made the suggestion that we're living in an age of total bureaucratization, as I called it. I wasn't quite sure whether to call it total bureaucratization or predatory bureaucratization. It's just kind of both. Never in history has been there been a population that spent more of its life filling out forms than people nowadays. It's just, you know, probably a year of our lives is spent just doing paperwork. Nothing like this has ever happened. But not only that, you reach the point where the profits are largely extracted through paperwork more than anything else. Since less and less is they talk about it as financialization, but what is financialization except for paperworkization? Even securitized derivatives and all these financial securities, which so dramatically crashed in 2008 and still dominate our economy, are really just really complicated forms of paperwork. And there's a direct line between the sort of paperworkization of everyday life, welfare, credentialization, and the fact that the sort of highest forms of value in our society are these complex forms. So in that context, you know, more and more of the profits of firms are through finance, which basically means directly extracted from people through various bureaucratic means, and public and private bureaucracies fuse together increasingly in ways that has never been true before. I think of the example of when I have problems with my bank. You know, on the bank phone for an hour trying to straighten something out. If you complain about the regulations, if you complain about the complexities, let's say, well, it's all government regulation. But, you know, if you look into where the regulations come from, they're half the time written by the bank. You know, and they just lobby people and bribe people to put those things through. The public and private bureaucracies have fused together. And in that context, I think this helps explain what's going on to work. Another thing I've been looking into very much is the phenomena of jobs that don't really do anything. I wrote an essay a couple years ago called On the Phenomena of Bullshit Jobs. And the piece itself was kind of a thought experiment. I kept running into people who work in offices who would sort of confess to me, well, you know, I only really work 2 hours a week, you know. Or I really don't do anything, you know, a computer could do it. I don't tell my boss. So I started wondering, how many people like this are there? So I wrote this little essay saying, well, maybe this is the reason we don't have the 15-hour week, which Keynes said we were supposed to have by now, you know, is that they have effectively made up jobs for us to do just to simulate working, to keep us off the streets and stop us from making trouble. If ever there was a piece where the response to the piece sort of validated the suggestion, this was it. It went viral immediately, like the millions and millions of hits. The server kept crashing. Within weeks, it was translated into 12 different languages. Eventually, people did polls and discovered it was way higher than I thought. I was expecting 15 to 20% of people would say their jobs were totally pointless. But actually, the numbers, they did one in Holland and one here, was 37 to 40% of people were convinced that if their job didn't exist, it would make no difference whatsoever. Now think about that, and then think about like how many people there are with jobs that don't do anything. And on top of that, there's people who have jobs that do something, but in support of that. Because right, if you have an office full of people who actually aren't really doing anything, well, somebody's got to water the plant, somebody's got to do pest control, somebody's got to do security, cleaning. You know, those are real jobs, but they're done in support of bullshit. So. You know, at least 50% of our economy could just be gotten rid of with no ill effects. And obviously it would have very positive effects on the environment and energy consumption and so forth. So I thought, all right, this is a very interesting thing to think about politically, because how can you, you know, it explains some of the shift. And if I had more time, I would talk about why I think that social movements have been shifting away from the traditional focus much more toward or what would be organizing around caring labor and the sort of things you can't computerize and are still very important they're increasingly bullshitized in the sense that you have to spend more and more of your time, you know, turning that into forms that computers can recognize. But the real job is legitimate. But I think the key thing is that, like, how do you do a political campaign against the bullshitization of labor? You don't want to just fire people. You could reduce working hours and kind of hope things sort themselves out, but that would create even larger bureaucracies. And what with this huge bureaucratization, as has been pointed out, the people in these jobs are miserable. When I started researching my book on bullshit jobs, I had people sort of send in accounts, and I got about 250 people. And a lot of them were, in fact, just as you described, they were people in government jobs who just had to deny people benefits, had to make sure homeless people had three forms of ID, and they hated themselves. They just went home and were miserable every day. All those people, when you say, how can they live with themselves? Often they can't. They're really actually suffering out there. So I think that, you know, if we are trying to think of a program which is both a program against bureaucracy and a program which is against the sort of useless labor that has been created through various mechanisms, which we don't need to go into here, well, something like a basic income program would be the perfect way to do that. Because, you know, you can imagine people, well, first of all, one of the greatest objections to a strong basic income, one which would provide full subsistence to people and leave them free to decide for themselves how they want to contribute to society, would be that people would form useless employment. You know, a lot of people would just have an exaggerated sense of themselves. They'd go off and become bad poets or crank scientists or annoying street mimes. And, you know, the world would be full of the people we don't really want to have around. But if you think about the fact that 40% of people already think their jobs are completely worthless, and honestly, who would know better than them, right? Well, how could it possibly be worse than we already have? You know, and we'd have human freedom. People could decide for themselves how they wanted to contribute to society. And second of all, it would be the greatest relief for all those people who are actually doing those horrible bureaucratic jobs denying people benefits. You know, increasingly, the major thing that this fusion of private and public bureaucracies do, that civil servants do, is basically come up with ways to make poor people feel bad about themselves. And that's kind of a miserable occupation. With basic income, those people could go off and form bands and, you know, restore antiques, do gardening. Whatever they came up with would obviously make them happier and make us happier than what they're doing now. So I think that we need to think of the larger philosophical and political implications of severing work from compensation and as a long-term horizon and say, well, you know, maybe we should trust people to decide for themselves how they want to contribute to society, because it would be hard to come up with a worse division of labor than we have already.
Thank you. And on that happy note, I'm afraid we've got to conclude here, but with the promise that we will perhaps have other events. Please do follow the LSE Festival and other events that are going on. For those that will be attending the evening talk tonight, it starts at 6:30, which is a continuation of the conference today. Please join me in thanking the panel again.
Thank you.